I'm Mike McCurdy. Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas. Spring is sprung and the grass is risen, but that's not necessarily a great thing, according to noted environmental writer Douglas Tallamy. Tallamy is speaking at Heartland Community College tomorrow. GLT's Judy Valente spoke by Skype with Tallamy and has more about what to do to foster nature in your own backyard.
Douglas Tallamy believes every person with a patch of front or backyard can be a conservationist. He is the author of such books as Bringing Nature Home and, most recently, The Living Landscape. An entomologist at the University of Delaware, Tallamy says humans are but one element in our ecosystem, and when one element of that chain suffers, we all do. He warns that humans have overrun the vast majority of natural landscapes across Illinois and indeed America. Tallamy says humans created this problem and can reverse the trend.
We have landscaped forever only from the perspective of aesthetics. So we've considered plants to be decorations and we're going to decorate the world with our plants. That's okay, except for all the other critically important things that plants do. We humans have such a giant footprint. If we don't pay attention to the ecological roles of plants, in addition to their aesthetic roles, then we face ecosystem collapse. So I'm trying to reach a compromise here, saying yes, you can have a pretty yard, but you have to have a functional yard too.
What do you suggest as step one on a practical level for people wanting to be both ecologically sound and have a pretty yard?
Step one, I would say, is consider reducing the area you have in lawn. Most people use lawn as a default, and when they're tired of landscaping, everything else becomes lawn.
What does that mean? It becomes lawn? It becomes grass?
That's right. Turf grass, you know, acres and acres of turf grass. We have an area in turf grass the size of New England right now in the U.S., and we're adding 500 square miles a year. So if we can reduce the area that's in lawn to the places where we actually walk, and fill in all of that lawn we're replacing with productive plants, you've gone a long, long way to meeting the requirements that we all have to start meeting.
Okay, what are productive plants then? What kind of plants should people be putting in? Because most people think of azaleas or impatiens.
Well, right. People are picking their plants by what they look like. You know, are they going to be a good decoration? But if I said, I want you to support a food web. This plant has to make a lot of food that are going to feed the birds and everything else. It has to sequester carbon. It's got to manage the watershed. The very best plants to do that are those large woody plants, and oaks top the list in terms of doing all of those things.
So plant an oak in your front yard or your backyard? What if you don't have the space to do that?
Most people do. Don't picture your oak as if it's 300 years old, because it's probably not going to get there. Plant it small, and even if it fills a space eventually, you can go 50 years with having a very productive plant in your yard before it causes a problem. Not only that, we have dwarf oaks, dwarf chinkapin oak, dwarf chestnut oak. Those things start making acorns at 5 feet tall. So you can have very powerful plants without them being gigantic.
What about plants? Let's talk plants. We're here in central Illinois. What kind of plants would be helpful for the environment?
Okay. You know, a lot of people are talking about pollinators, making pollinator gardens. It means putting plants, flowering plants, in your yard that are going to provide the nutrition needed by our pollinators, and we're really talking about our native bees here. So in the Midwest and Illinois there, I think there's 12 species of bees that will only reproduce on sunflower pollen. So if you don't have sunflowers, you've lost 12 species of bees right there. Goldenrod is always very, very high on that list.
How do you make this less complicated for people who say, you know, I just want my garden to look nice, but I also want to attract butterflies, I want to attract bees, right? Because they're good.
We're working on that, and we actually have a website now that is up on the National Wildlife Federation website. It's called Native Plant Finder. And if you put in your zip code, the top-ranked plants that do all these things will pop up for your county. So this zeroes in on the plants that are good where you live, and that can make it easy. Remember, if you spend a half an hour planting that oak tree in your yard and never do another thing, you have made your yard very productive for the next 100 years. So it doesn't take constant monitoring.
It sounds like it's an expensive proposition, and that may be a stumbling block for some people.
I'm going to argue against that. Most people don't even mow their own lawn. They hire a lawn care company, which is expensive. If you reduce the area of your lawn by 50%, you've just saved yourself a lot of money. I'm not going to pretend that putting these plants in is maintenance-free and doesn't cost anything. But once your yard is established, maintenance really does drop off. I know in the long run, it does actually save you money.
Because native plants are perennials.
Most of them are perennials. You can get annuals, but most of them are perennials, absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about insects. You're very big on insects, and this is a farming area, and there's a lot of people who think of insects simply as pests to be eradicated. You say that's wrong-headed thinking.
Sure. Think of the monarch butterfly, for example. That is not eating our soybeans. It's not eating our corn. It's not a pest in any way. It develops on milkweeds. If you take away the milkweeds, when we spray indiscriminately to remove, quote, weeds, and it removes those flowering native plants that support the monarch, that support our native bees, the things that support most of the wildlife out there. And in a lot of places, we're converting that into lawn. So these are deadscapes in the name of protecting our crops. But we're really fighting things that actually protect our crops. I mean, bees are good things for pollination. They did all the pollinating before we brought the honeybee over from Europe. So there are consequences to eliminating what really amounts to are the little patches of nature that are left. We need nature. Everybody has this idea that there's a lot of nature out there, but Illinois is a perfect place to drive around and see that is not true. That is not true anymore. We've converted it into our human-dominated landscapes. We've rather mindlessly created just these pretty landscapes, but they are not ecologically functional.
You're listening to Sound Ideas. I'm Judy Valente. Douglas Tallamy is an ecologist, author, and environmentalist. And we're talking about creating living landscapes. What do you say to people who are using pesticides of some sort?
90% of the time, it's totally unnecessary. What you need to do is create a balanced food web in your yard so that you have the natural enemies that will protect your garden naturally without pesticides. You don't get wrapped up in this pesticide loop. We know when we spray, the very first things we kill are the natural enemies of the pests we're trying to control. And that means then you have to keep spraying because all the natural enemies are gone. So we don't want to get caught up in that treadmill. In our home gardens, most people spray things like spiders, which are actually helping us. They'll spray things like box elder bug, which is completely harmless and sits on the side of our house just to keep warm in the fall. It's not eating the house, not eating anything. Because we've got this notion that all insects are bad, and if you see one, you have to kill it. But I started to say earlier, E.O. Wilson has told us that insects are the little things that run the world. They're doing absolutely everything, and if they disappeared, we wouldn't last in this planet but a few months. And yet, studies that are actually starting to look at the decline of insects around the world show we've lost about 45% of them so far. Very bad idea if those are the things that are actually keeping us alive. So we have to look beyond our little immediate environment and realize that these are essential components of our ecosystems, and to mindlessly kill them when we're not even sure why we're doing that is a bad idea.
You mentioned there are other ways than pesticides. What other ways can people do, for example, in their own little plot of land, backyard?
Soapy water is a wonderful solution. That's not going to poison you. It's not going to give your pets leukemia and tumors.
Would that work also for roses? I know I have rose bushes that often get full of Japanese beetles.
Japanese beetle is here, and it has very few natural enemies.
So what do I do about my Japanese beetles?
What do you do about Japanese beetles? What I do is I get a bucket of soapy water. They often aggregate maybe on your roses or on the tip of a branch or something, and just hold the bucket underneath there and tap them. They all fall right into the water. It works.
What main point are we missing about how we do gardening today?
The main point we're missing is that humans are part of nature. We cannot live without it. We can't pretend that it's optional. So we have to start to incorporate it into the way we live, into the landscapes we design, into our behaviors. We have to start to connect those isolated habitats that are out there so that they're not isolated anymore. We really have to redesign our relationship with the planet. And saying, well, I want a pretty lawn, that's not good enough reason to destroy the planet. It just doesn't work anymore.
Douglas Tallamy is a professor of entomology at the University of Delaware. He's a noted ecologist and author. Thanks so much for talking about all of this.
You're quite welcome.
I'm Judy Valente.
Tallamy speaks tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Astroth Community Education Center at Heartland Community College. His free talk is sponsored by the Illinois Prairie Wild Ones Conservation Group. It's Sound Ideas on GLT.